episode of The Architecture of Wealth. My name is Mark Struthers. I am your host. It is great to have you on a hot summer day. It's why I'm wearing short sleeves here in Minnesota. Of course, I think it's hot across the country. Today, we are talking RSUs and NSOs, equity compensation. They stand for restricted stock units and non-qualified stock options. There are other forms of equity compensation, but these two, they're the most common. I see them a lot more often. And more I see people are given a choice between the two. So that's what we're attempting to do today. We have a long blog article on this as well, because it is a bit of a complicated topic. We're still going to try to keep this podcast to around 10 minutes. And our takeaways from our blog article. Number one, there is no wrong or right choice. The wrong choice is not making an informed decision, not having a plan, but it's all about what's right for you, your goals, your personal risk profile, your risk tolerance, ability and willingness, you know, your current tax profile, your future tax profile. But if you were to sum it up, RSUs are easier to understand, easier to manage, most often considered less risky with less downside. NSOs, or non-qualified stock options, sometimes NQSOs, are more complex, harder to manage, riskier with more downside. Generally speaking, you're given more NSOs than RSUs. And it's often good to think about these in terms of the investment side and the tax side when you analyze these. And that's what we did in our blog article. That's what we're going to do here real briefly. So more and more you see people are given a choice. Sometimes, honestly, people don't like choice. It's why Costco, and I'm not sure about these numbers, only has 10,000 SKUs, whereas Walmart has 100. Yeah, they want things simplified. But in this case, I think it's a good choice. It's just going to take some time. I hope you do take time to make an informed choice, and we're here to help. So first of all, we're going to talk about why you are granted more NSOs most of the time than RSUs. If you get a feel for that, you're going to understand the basics, I think. One, you shouldn't understand the basics of the way each of them work. We're not going to go into a ton of detail. I encourage you to check out other blogs or podcasts. But to sum it up, well, first of all, the company itself is indifferent. So the company doesn't care. They come up with a ratio to what their advisors think is to where they're equal. They use the Black-Scholes model or some version of it to kind of try to come up with that. It's a pricing model for options from back in my CFA days. I wouldn't go down that path at all. The best way to understand it is RSUs will almost always have value unless the stock price goes to zero. So because once they vest, you are given shares of stock. So unless the stock price is zero, they're going to have something. They're going to have some value. That's why they're simpler. You know, you have no control over when they vest. You can plan for it. Say, yep, they're vesting. You have no control of the stock price, but you can make some estimations. But you have very little control, but when they vest, you get the shares of stock, so they're lower risk. With NSOs, they could have no value. The strike price is what you have a right to buy it for. So if the strike price is 100, you have a right to buy it for 100. And if the price of the stock goes below 100, and you guessed it, the value of that NSO is zero. So you see that there's a higher chance, higher risk, higher probability that you'll have a zero value, lower value. So, and that's why there's more issued. If something is riskier, if there's a greater chance that it won't be worth anything, you're going to need more of them. You know, and you think about it, that if someone says, I'll give you something that has a 98% chance of having some value, and you can even say some range of value, and I'll give you something that has a 3% chance of having zero value. Well, you know, you're probably going to want more of them. So that's the reason why. NSOs are riskier, therefore you're going to get more of them, usually between 3 and 5 to 1. In our example, I think I did 4 to 1. But And that's where that comes in. It plays into your goals. It plays into your risk tolerance. And we described that in the blog article that, you know, if you are a risk taker, the NSOs are more attractive. If you're trying to grow more wealth, and we break out a table that says, what if a stock price was this, to show you what possible outcomes are, the NSOs might be attractive. If you're trying to fund college and you want to make sure you have a at least a minimum amount, and you look at the stock price and say, you know, it's unlikely it's going to go below this, no guarantee, RSUs might be more attractive. If you're more conservative, RSUs might be more attractive. So it's your ability to take on risk. What other assets do you have? Your emergency fund, other income, all those things. How quickly, you know, do you for sure need the money, or how quickly do you have to have the money? It's your ability, your willingness. Is the, can you sleep at night? If market volatility keeps you up, then the NSOs probably aren't for you. If you want to be able to have a more consistent value on your statement, the RSUs are probably more attractive. And in our table, we give you an example. Most of the time, you're given the choice between 100% NSOs, 100% RSUs, or 50-50. Now, I have seen some other, where you can really have a dynamic choice. You can choose many different options. I wouldn't go down there. I wouldn't go down that path until you understand things better. But certainly if you wanted to split the difference, 50-50 is not a bad option. You know you're going to have a bad choice. You know you're going to have at least some value, most likely with RSUs, yet you have some upside leverage, so to speak, because you are given more of the NSOs. So it's good to run through those scenarios, which with your whatever your company's stock is. And you know, even if you're a blue chip stock, please keep an open mind. One of the biggest examples is Target. I'm out of Minnesota. I have several Target clients that, you know, here's a blue chip company that killed it over COVID. Very well run company. You know, not recommending it as purchasing it. But here's a company that, because of inflation and some inventory supply chain, you could say it's short-term stuff, but you certainly saw a lot of variation where some NSOs that were worth a ton dropped in value, and to a lesser degree, the RSUs. So keep that in mind. So when you're talking about risk, it's your ability to take on risk, emergency fund, disability insurance. You know, how much certainty do you need around the funds? How quickly you're going to access them? And then your willingness, can you sleep at night? Also your concentration risk. If you have a lot of concentration risk, the NSOs might not be for you. Again, because they're higher risk, because there's more of them. You know, and this one of the questions that you need to ask too, right now we're talking about before vesting. So RSUs, they vest and you get the shares. With NSOs, they vest, you don't have to exercise them. So you can put off owing taxes or paying the strike price forever. You know, you could just let them expire. So most of the time it's a 10-year expiration, but you know, keep in mind if you wait to that 10th year, it could be a high tax income year, or if they've grown, where you might be pushed up in the higher tax brackets, where if you did it gradually over time, you know, you could have filled up, say kept the stayed out of the 35% bracket, so lower than 35. Whereas if you wait till the very end, you certainly could be pushed up to the 37% bracket or higher tax bracket. Brackets can change. Or and also don't forget about state taxes as well. So in Minnesota, that gets pretty steep. So there's a lot of folks who put off exercising their NSOs until expiration, and all of a sudden they're pushed up into the 37% bracket in almost 10 in state. That's almost 50%. So that's where taxes come in. I jumped ahead a little bit. So keep in mind your concentration risk, and keep in mind too that we've been talking about vesting and exercising. It's also a matter of, do you hold on to the shares? If you're holding on to the shares of your company stock and your paycheck and health insurance is all dependent upon that company, and you have some NSO, I mean, that's where the choice might be. If you have tons of company stock and for whatever reason you don't want to de-risk, you don't want to diversify, then you might want to choose RSUs, you know, lower upside, but also a more chance of a guaranteed value. What if that stock price craters? So concentration risk, ability to take on risk, and your willingness to take on risk are all critical. Lastly, I'm going to talk about taxes. And we've kind of made reference to this. So with RSUs, when they vest, you get the stock. You pay the taxes on whatever that stock price is because you're given shares. You're given money for free. You pay FICA. It's like getting income. FICA taxes. And you pay ordinary income tax. So, and again, it adds on to your income. It could push you up in entire tax brackets. You can't control that with RSUs other than the plan for it, you know, where if you can move income around other places, say you have a small business or your spouse's small business, you know, an RSU is vesting, but maybe next year you don't. So maybe you put off some income. So it's about planning and just making sure you're aware of the tax bill and you pay the taxes. You know, your company custodian might have automatic withholding. It might not be enough. It's better to get ahead of these things. Don't have a surprise tax bill in or penalty. With NSOs, you don't pay any tax until you exercise. So you do have more control, and that's where planning comes in. So when you exercise, you have to come up with a strike price, which you could sell shares to pay the strike price. But if you plan on holding the stock, keep in mind, you have to come up with a strike price and you have to pay taxes. So same deal, FICA taxes, ordinary income. The difference is you can control when you exercise it. And there's different schools of thought. You don't want the tax tail to wag the investment dog. But it is why I do see, when I've done some numbers in hindsight, it is tough where folks that if they had done it over years, especially when you see folks get promotion, you see someone at 35 making a lower amount, and all of a sudden they're 45, they've gotten a bunch of promotions, they had these NSOs, and now the NSOs are a ton of income coming in, and they're already in a high tax bracket. So yeah, it's about planning and realizing that you might be better off filling up some tax brackets over time, plus just a concentration risk, especially if you're selling the shares. You know, you think about some of these companies that you could have spread out some of that market risk. Now, in this case, we had a pretty steep decline from 2021 to 22, but I hope you get the idea. So planning, looking at your goals, you know, college, retirement. College is a big one. You know, obviously, if you for sure need some money, RSUs might be better. If your other assets, you could say, I need to fund college, but if I have to delay, you know, if the RSUs aren't worth what I hope they're worth, whatever the case may be. So looking at your goals, risk tolerance, taxes, and coming up with a plan. And that kind of brings it all together. The closing of our blog article was just plan out your taxes, your investment horizon, your goals, and trying to make the best decision possible. That's all we have. And we are at, let's see how we did today, 13 minutes. So we did good. Thank you for joining me. We're going to have some college talk in the next few months. And we're going to have some guests, especially as we go back to school here. Have a great summer, everyone. And thanks for joining us. Appreciate you. Appreciate your time.